You know, life is really meaningless to a lot of people. They don't really have any motivation of life toward meaning or goals in life. They just cheer. They're here today and they're here tomorrow, and they're just drifting. They don't have any goals. They don't have any programs. They don't really have any priorities of life. And they just drift to and fro, just doing whatever comes to hand, whatever they think about or whatever falls across the path or whatever luck brings to them, as they say. And trust that people of Bethlehem won't be like that. And I trust that people of God won't be like that around the world. But they'll come to their wits and they'll realize that they are a people of purpose and goals in life. And they're to set standards and they're to hold up standards and they're to make declarations and bring forth proclamations that will stand throughout eternity in the behalf of people. And that they'll catch the minds of the people and realize that they're here to help establish a government and a way of life to bring the world out of all of the sorrow and the degraded way of life that it's in. And that every day is a new day and a new hope and a new challenge. And whereas people in the academic worlds and the worlds of diplomacies are steadily striving, giving themselves wholly to their cause to become dignitaries of the world and legislators of the world and to control the world and to control the government and to rule over us, that we might realize that we have the minds of God and that even though they're doing their best as to what they know, we are to come out in a masterful way in the mind of Christ to correct the disorders of their life and let them know that they're not capable of those kind of things and take this thing from an animal realm into the realm from which it's fallen and set up the Godship that God intended and bring the wonderful powers of God and the wonderful world of God and bringing the wonderful knowledge of God or dispensing from our life the joy of jubilance of real living in that Christ is the Prince of Life and we are the body of the Prince of Life and we've come that men may have life and that more abundantly filled up and overflowing. So let's remember that we have a goal. And if you don't have that goal in life, then you need to get born again and you need to realize that in life there is something that you need to do, that every person is duty-bound to God and their fellow man to do something outside of just drift and eat and make money and live and die. So they that love God are not planning to die anywhere. There's no such thing as them dying. The first thing that they do in their life, they conquer death. And they pass from death unto life, and they come to a place to where it is utterly impossible for them to die. So, having taught a message here that we cannot sin, therefore we cannot die, we should be ever so grateful from the bottoms of our heart. And I noticed that this thing that we've been teaching is beginning to catch on, and I heard that even the other day over at a Brother Branham following out in a certain era, there was a brother with a lot of brothers, and they've even got him a song now that we can't sin so we can't die. And I think it's wonderful because God has given us the understanding of it and brought it in. And never in my life have I ever heard it around the world, but he gave it to us in our heart, and we've been singing it, praising it, preaching it, and it's catching on around the different parts of the world. He that is born of God cannot sin, the Bible teaches. And it's been with us all the time to be able to understand, but sometimes men don't dare make an effort to believe what God is saying. But he that is born of God, there is no such thing as you sinning once you're born of God. You're sealed inwardly. The inward man is sealed, and the evils of Satan that works in your fleshly being can never touch him. He is sealed. And he is hid away in Christ, whom the heavens have received. And Satan cannot even come nigh your dwelling, because light causes darkness to dissipate. And because Satan is the god of darkness, he cannot even get near your spirit, because it is sealed with light. Light meaning the glorious knowledge and understanding of eternal living, the words of life and spirit. And those beautiful words of life that you have, when the darkness comes near it, which when you say darkness, you're speaking of intellectual ignorance, a shadow, and just a form of that which is light. And when this shadow approaches, the understanding of Almighty God, which is hid within you, which is light, it dissipate, it fades away, it unravels, and suddenly you don't see the shadow anymore, but you see that which is sealed within the shadow or in the confines of the shadow. Inasmuch as God veils himself in darkness, you see God, the great light of revelation, loom out of the shadows, and the shadows dissipate because they cannot get to you. The shadows are death. They bring death. They bring time and death. I wish we had lots of time from time to time to expand those things. They bring sorrow and they bring death. But as I've said in the past, it's necessary to have the God of darkness. It is necessary to have the tree of knowledge. It is necessary to have people who are but beasts, some beast made to be taken and burned, brute beast. And it is necessary to have a God of vanity and a world of vanity for God to do what he has to do with the children of light and with the sons and daughters of God to bring them into Godship. So it's necessary that we pass through these channels. And inasmuch as it is, then we have to believe God and trust God through the valley of the shadows. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows. And this world is a valley, as God looks down from heaven and angelic beings looks down from heaven. And it is a valley of a shadow, and it is a pit. It is a dark place. And just as soon as the light of the church is taken out, it will be one dark pit where Satan will roam and take it over. And everything in it will be gross darkness, won't even be healing medicines. So we're going through the valley of the shadow, but we don't fear evil, for God is with us. And the Holy Ghost is our comforter, his rod, his staff, which means the word and the spirit. They're our comforter. And they keep us during the time of the valley of the shadow. Like a woman bringing her little child, she goes through the valley of the shadow, symbolic of the church. Now, so I said all those things for us to remember that God, who is light, hath formed darkness, or made darkness, rather. He created darkness. He made darkness. It wasn't that darkness just got here by chance or just happened to be here, some big bad wolf-like, and God wasn't able to handle him, and oh, he was so shrewd he slipped in, or he was some kind of being that was here and God couldn't do anything about it. He was created. God created him for his purpose. So then in that God created him, he is darkness, and it must be that we have darkness to form light. I say this again to you. You are considered existent, and existent is a human terminology. But anyway, you are considered existent. But God is considered non-existent, and he cannot be existent except by using shadows or by using darkness to form him. Even as the negative, when you take the picture, it takes darkness to form that which is nothing but light. There's no image in it until it's processed and brought into detail by the chemical reaction. So then God has made darkness so that he can become existent and project himself. And all of that that is existent had to have the form of darkness. There had to be darkness for you to become existent. There had to be darkness for birds to become existent and for all of the active creation of God to become existent. And once it becomes existent, then the darkness dissipates. It fades away, and that's why I am a minister of light. Paul turned my people from darkness unto light, turned them to this faith which is within me, the faith by which they are sanctified, not as to your believing, for your believing has nothing to do with it, but the faith which is by Jesus Christ. It's called the righteousness of God. So then turn them unto this faith which is within me, and this is the faith, the law and the prophets until John. Since that time, the faith came. And now that the faith has come, the church ages is here, and we're preaching the faith of Jesus Christ has righteousness and justification and sanctification for all and upon all, sanctification once and for all, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or glorification, or predestination, and us becoming sons of God as of now through new birth. So the kingdom is here. The kingdom has come and has been here ever since Calvary. And we've been preaching, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there is no more law to you. You that are dead to the law, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ came to take you out from under the law, to fold up the ordinances and those things that you had to keep, and laid them away by fulfilling those things, saying, you pray now, the kingdom come, the will be done. Not my will, thy will, Father. So then now that the kingdom has come, we're preaching the kingdom of God is now at hand, and you must repent and receive the kingdom, or let God translate your inter-man into this wonderful inter-spiritual Christ, into the kingdom of Christ, which is for you and for me. So my kingdom is here, Lord, we say. So we want to do your will. And the law is no more. It has been fulfilled, every jot and every tittle. I remind you again, it was said in the law shall not pass, not one jot nor tittle, till all be fulfilled. And Jesus came and he fulfilled every jot and tittle. And then it passed away. Paul said, we therefore conclude now that you're justified by grace through faith without the deeds of the law. And so the law is fulfilled in you by Christ. No more transgression, no more sin, no more sin, no more death, no more death, no more sorrow, poverty, heartaches, problems, whatever. You're receiving this faith of this message that you might not only be translated in your spirit into the spirit of Christ as the kingdom of God within, but you might transformate in your mind to dispense this wonderful light from glory to glory, from understanding to understanding, measure to measure, that it might be projected as heavenly potentiality into your natural, physical blood genes to change your body, that by this a light might penetrate from within as to a great knowledge of the understanding that might change your entire world. Knowledge has changed the world from the primitive Stone Age to the modern age of the technology of today, showing us a type or a symbol. And now the great mind of Almighty God is coming forth through sons of God, that this light might penetrate and change the whole world into the glorious paradise of the everlasting God, that he intended for us to have even from the beginning. So apply yourself. Don't be childish and don't be foolish. Apply yourself. The Bible said in the wilderness they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let us not play as do the children of the night, and let us not be drunken as the children of the night, but let us be children of the light and children of the day, which means children of revelation, children of understanding. They that don't get this understanding light, this revelational light, will not be in the world to come, as we say, which world we're already in. It's not to become to us. But anyway, the world that is the revelational light, they will not be in this world. They will hear Bible stories. They will be charismatic. They will jump, shout. They'll do all kind of things. They'll be Bible scholars. They'll get diplomacies. Have all kind of things from the world of academics, even from the religious world. But they will never even see what we're talking about. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of mankind, not even the greatest of mankind. These things, or any of these things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but he hath made them revelation unto us, revealing them unto us by his Spirit. All right, just a little pre-thought there to kind of tune you up a little this morning. Let's sing a song or two. Glad to have you with us this morning. As a matter of fact, I think I see Brother John over here to the left, Brother John Lane. We're glad to have him with us this morning, his wife, Mary Kay. It's always a pleasure to have our brothers and sisters come and visit with us at Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the home of the soul. I say so often, we're actively engaged in world evangelism, trying to do what we can, and God is sparking up something around the world, throughout all the world. We're getting reports, and the fire's getting bigger. The sparks are brighter than ever. God is doing something, and we are privileged to have a little part in this. All right, let's sing this chorus. I'm going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Enter into his courts with praise. Sing, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. Can you sing with me? Gonna rejoice, Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it again. Let us enter into the gate with thanksgiving in the heart. Enter into the courts with praise. Let us say this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me now. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus. Sing it again now. Oh, we've entered into the gate with thanksgiving down in the heart. Entered into his courts with praise. And we sing this is the day the Lord hath made. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Can you sing it just one more time together like you mean it? Let us enter into God's gates with thanksgiving in the heart. Enter into his courts with praise. Let us say this is the day the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. My Lord made me glad. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. You love the Lord? If you're glad in your heart this morning, that's the right way. Serving God is gladness, joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have joy, something's wrong. If you don't have peace, something's wrong. And if you don't have righteousness, something is wrong. So this morning, it's good to be a Christian. Let's sing this little chorus. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder rolls no more, till the lightning is gone forever from the sky. Guide my feet, Lord, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm goes by. Sing it again. Until the storm cloud pass on over, thunder rolls, till the lightning has gone forever from the sky. Guide my feet, the Lord, let in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe
until the storm passes by.
One more time together.
Until the storm clouds.
A lot of storm clouds, but they'll pass on over. If you trust in God, He'll just move them right on over. And the sunshine will break right through. And you'll find out that every day is a beautiful day with God. And every cloud, as has been said, has a silver lining somewhere. Just trusting the Lord and going on by faith, there's joy and jubilance in serving God. Hollow of your hand, keep me safe until the storm goes by. Oh, there's peace in the times of your troubles. Sing that with me. And there's peace in the times of your storm. And there's peace while the world is raging. It's in the shelter of God's arm. Once again, you can find peace in the time of your trouble. I find peace in the time of my storm, and I find peace when the world is raging. In the shelter of God's arm. Let's sing this little chorus, friend. I am going to a city where the streets with gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming and the roses never fade. Sing that with me. Here they bloom, but for a season. Then the beauty fades away. Talking about some things the other night, got into some things. It was a little bit deep, and they were really shouldn't have been over the heads of the people. Not much, anyway. Might have been a little bit, but shouldn't have been much over the head. In as much as some of you have been growing in the grace and knowledge. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The main reason for coming to the house of the Lord is not to shout. That's not the reason. Coming to the house of God is not to clap your hands. It's not to sing. It's not to praise God. That wasn't why you came. That isn't why you come. Though we do all those things, and that's part of the worship. That's part of the worship. But, you know, you take your bait out to the river, and you go out to the river, not so that you can save your bait, but that you might feed the bait to the fish, and that by that you might entice the fish, and then you might take the fish home for lunch. So when you come to the house of God, you come to grow into the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, or you come to grow into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, to the full reward. And this is your purpose in the house of God. And you sing and you praise God and you give God glory like the minstrels of old when they played their timbrels. They would say, "Prophesy unto us," the kings would say. And he said, "Have you got anybody who can play any music?" Just putting it in plain old up-to-date talk, you know. And they'd get somebody who could play a timbrel, and they'd play. And then they'd play and they'd create an atmosphere. See, they'd praise God and they'd create an atmosphere. And then when they create the atmosphere, then the Lord would come down and God would speak. And that's what it was all about. See, but if you spend all of your time jumping and hollering and shouting and singing and all these kind of things, you haven't done anything. See, you haven't done anything. And then somebody tells you a Bible story. Or somebody gets exuberant and runs and jumps and whatever. All that's good. That's fine. It's exciting. Somebody said we had revival. That's true. You did get revival. You got revived in your flesh. You shout more, you holler more, you jump more, you feel better, you can jump, holler, move. You felt the presence of God, somebody says. Sure you did. The rain's on the tear. The tear fills it. But that didn't do the tear any good. Are you listening? Somebody said, "Wait a minute, Brother Pike." I said, "It didn't do you any good." Oh, somebody said, "But I know it felt good, and I know it does good. I know it does good to the extent that the tear continues to grow until it's finished." But does that keep the tear from the fire? Does that keep the tear from being cut down? Does that keep the tear from dying? It felt it. Oh, but somebody says, "But I'm not a tear. I felt it." And that's great. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But in that it did not keep the tear from dying, what will it do for you if it's just coming down on you? The Bible said God has poured out of His Spirit upon all flesh. He's above you. He's in you. He's through you. Isn't that right? So He poured out the rain upon all of you. He pours it out every day upon all of us. But still, doesn't it say that all flesh has corrupted its way before God? Then what good did it do you? See, the thing that we're interested in is getting a root on the inside. The Bible said if God had not left us a root, we'd be like to Sodom and Gomorrah. See, but He left us the root and offspring of David. Jesus, the bright and the morning star. And we need this root on the inside. The day start dawning from within. So we need Christ on the inside. I tell you this again in a way that you can understand. When marriage comes, children come. That's the purpose of it, to multiply and replenish the earth. But if there's only a frolic as it is in our day of adulterous, sterile people, dope addicts, abortions, then it is a wasted effort. It is a wasted effort. And it's no good. Like a woman made the statement yesterday, a young woman, I got the word yesterday, said she made the statement, she wished she'd never had any children. She's got 3 or 4 fine children. I'm telling you, that's about as low as you can stoop. And that's what some of them are doing. Because they want to frolic. See, they were not made to be frolickers. They were made to be mothers. They were not made to be movie stars and have careers. God didn't make no woman, never, to be a movie star and have a career. God made her to be a mother and made her to be a woman. and made her to reproduce and replenish the earth. Wasn't that what Eve was told? And she was the top of the line. Mary, the virgin, the top of the line. Wasn't that what she was told that would happen? So then when this thing comes about, remember that you are to conceive of God. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And you have to have a divine conception as Mary did. And you have to be a virgin before God if it's going to be the seed of God, which is His word in mind and His thought. And you're to bring forth the Christ in all virginity, that you may have an inheritance of a change in that body as the woman that travails, to be the most glorious thing that heaven has ever seen, the most beautiful thing that heaven has ever seen as the bride of Christ. See, and you're not going to dance and holler and run and jump when a mother's carrying the child. I remind you again, she withdraws, as in the Old Testament, the women did that. They don't want to kill the little one. They're concerned. That's their inheritance. That's their treasure. Without a child, there was no inheritance. And you're not going to run and jump. You're going to withdraw, and you're going to be sober. And you're going to prepare for the future, and you're going to try to look after that little life and try to take care of your own life, lest you kill your own self. And these that are running and drinking and jumping and having a good time and drinking wine and bubbling in the beer and spinning around at racetracks and on the beaches and all these kind of things half nude, those people don't have the word of God and the seed of God and the knowledge of God and understanding. And those that's just jumping around as a bunch of charismatics everywhere and hollering and shouting and going on, they don't have the seed of God. They've not conceived of God. They're just tares. God even likened some of them to vomit. Said, my tables are full of vomit. All of my tables are full of vomit. Said, they're lukewarm. I've spewed them out of my mouth. That's vomit. They stand at the door and they won't go in. They don't teach holiness. They don't believe in holiness. They don't practice holiness. They have all these great evangelistic crusades. They don't teach people holiness. If these men that have stood before me that have caused my people to turn from their sins. But what they do, they set a light by the dead. Those people are dead, thrice dead. Some of them are plucked up by the root. And they've set a light by them. And it's a curse in the sight of God. It's an abomination. And those people are decked out, as I said the other night, with jewels and worldliness. And they're sodomites and fornicators and liars and cheats and all kinds of people. Their daily practice is evil of this kind. Men slip into houses and lead silly women astray that's laden with divers lusts. So their minds are on money and passions and all the things that pertain to the flesh, the human senses, and projected faces and forms and these kind of things. Away with that. God hates that. He hates the very image of that that's born into the world. He hates you and your diplomacies. He hates you. He wants children of God. He said, if I see your image in the morning, I'll destroy it with the brightness of my coming. He hates you. The only way you have escape is to die by the body of Jesus Christ and to put that outer man down, let that outer man perish, walk on that thing, bruise his head under your feet as to his old intellectual reasoning, and turn to God and seek revelation in faith and go on with God and believe in the word of God until you transformate, translate, and transfigure into the world of spirit. It is his goal to change your physical being into spirit. The same way he made Jesus a quickening spirit, Jesus manifested as God in the flesh, but he was quickened in the spirit. He was put to death in the flesh, but he was still quickened in the spirit. And God's will is to change you in the spirit to where there's not one other thought of you left as in your intellect, till every thought is brought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Casting down that imagination, all those things that exalt itself against God, that lifts up pride and flesh. This world is flesh. It's despised in the sight of God. All flesh is corrupt. All flesh has gone astray. Every man's turned to his own way. Paul's in the asp unto all of them's lips, and the deceit in all of them's tongues, and their feet shedding blood everywhere, swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery before their eyes. It's a continual thing. The whole mass of humanity is like that. Then there's none good, no, not one. So then he's chosen another blood cell, and he's chosen another blood seed. And now he has this blood cell and blood seed as to that that went into the womb of Mary. And he has this to put into your heart. He has it to put into your heart. Well, I was going to read a little refer to a little scripture here, but I guess I won't. Anyway, he has this to put into your heart. And he wants you to conceive of it. He woos you. He loves you. And you love him. And you woo him. And y'all make love one to another through the wonderful agape love of God. And then there comes an overshadowing. There comes an illumination. There comes a stimulation. There comes a quickening. And then all of a sudden you conceive of the wonderful word of God. The wonderful mind of God. And this is the beauty of it. The Bible said, and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is, if God made me in his own likeness, where he said, come and let us make men in our own likeness. If he had made me in his own likeness, and I'm in his own image, if I emanated from the Shekinah covering of Adam, if I came from there, then why should I think it robbery to be equal with God? He made me in his image. Jesus did not think it was robbery, though he was a man. In this world, he was a man just like I'm a man and you are a person. See, and he did not think it was robbery to be equal with God. So he had a mind in him that he said, my Father and I, we are one. Now, someone would say, oh, but Brother Pike, it's for sure. You could never say that. Well, I'm going to say it. My Father and I are one. Someone would say, oh, you can't do that. Oh, yes, I can do that. How is it that you can do that, Brother Pike? How can you do that? Jesus was God. How can you do that? But Jesus was a man. Isn't that right? And he was made in the image of man. So we say, how did Jesus do that? By the love and the grace and the goodness of God, because he witnessed of his own words, I can do nothing of myself. Nothing have I done, he was saying, nor can I do anything. It is the Father within me, the eternal Spirit. My Father, my God, he is a Spirit. He is greater than I. He doeth the works. So then, my Father and I are one, because that Spirit was made flesh. Now, I say, my Father and I are one. My Father is greater than I. All the works are the words from me. My Father doeth it. I don't do that. For my Father is greater than I. And I can do nothing of myself. But my Father and I are one. And someone would say, oh, that can't be, Brother Pike. But how is it that Jesus said, Father, make these one even as we are one? Let's give the Lord a hand. If I cannot be one with him, then the goal is missed. The target is missed. All that he asked God to do, it didn't happen. So then we are one with our Heavenly Father. How much one then was Jesus with God, the great eternal Spirit? He was the one God, just one God. He was God in his fullness, without measure, made manifest. Then how much God are we? The Bible said we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We are the same as he, except for the measure. And we have the ordination of God and the privilege of God to go on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And the Bible said, he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. And that means in the ruling power. He shall become a ruler. He is a son of God. Where am I today? Where am I today? I am at the right hand of the Father. I am sitting at the right hand of the Father. Oh no, somebody says, oh yes, I am at the right hand of the Father. That's me at the right hand of the Father. That's my bone and flesh right there. And you don't know what I look like. See, and I don't know what I look like. But when he appears, I'll see myself as I am. I'll see myself as I am. For the Bible said, though we be the sons of God already. Now, beloved, John said, ye are the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear to mankind's eyes, to whatever, as to what ye shall be. But when he appears, we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that hath this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. So then we see this great mind. Let this mind be in you. What kind of mind? This mind was the mind that believed that he could raise the dead. This was the mind that believed he could unstop the deaf ears and open the blind eyes. This is the mind that believed that he was eternal,
This was the mind that believed that him and his father was one. This was the mind that believed that all of his enemies someday would bow down before him. And he said, Father, these disciples that have seen me in the time of my shame, let them see me in the time of my glory, and let them be with me beholding my glory, even as they have seen my shame. And sure enough, in the millennium, 12 of them sits on the throne with him when he's the great, mighty God ruling throughout the earth. And they see his glory, even as they went with him to see the shame. And not only that, but because they continued with him in the regeneration, he even gave them a throne. They said, what shall we receive? We left houses and wives and children and all these things, and we gave up all that's in the world. He said, you'll receive a throne, just like I have received a throne. All right, so then we see this wonderful thing of God. He's given it to us. He wants us to have it. What a wonderful thing to know that God is with us and that God is leading us. And wherever we go, God is right there with us. So we gathered together at Little Bethlehem, the home of the soul, a place to where you have struggled to build it. You have sweated to build this place in the cold, in the heat. You've invested your dollars in it. It's become your little community. It's separated from the world, and it's become your haven of rest, place for you and your children. Not only has it become that, but it has become a launching pad for you, the gospel around the world. Though we haven't done a lot of launching as we should do, haven't had the perseverance and the drive that we should have had, yet it is a true fact that Little Bethlehem is a launching pad and that we're doing something for God. Like somebody told me, a vision they saw the other day, said we were a couple of stories building a building, and it was a beautiful, nice building. Big, beautiful building going up a couple of stories, and said we were working on it. He said, but the fascinating thing about it was the framework reached clear up like into the heavens. It just looked like there wasn't no end to it, that we'd already got a framework up there, a structure, to where we would just go right on and go right on and go right on. So this mind, if this mind is not in you, then I wonder what kind of mind that you have. Do you have a mind to eat and a mind to drink and a mind to vacation and a mind to buy and a mind to go to the places of frolic in the world and wherever it might be throughout the world to have businesses and to make money and to visit with your relatives or to sit at home and watch TV, to read movies or to lounge around home and just do nothing, just full of lethargy all the time, just to see what you can keep in the refrigerator to eat, or just frolic in passions with one another like old animals all the time? What is your way of life? Or maybe your mind is that you had rather just buy and sell and con a little bit and swap about, just anything to keep out of work, to keep money and keep the groceries and keep the bills paid. Or maybe you are one of those that rather study, 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 religiously study, study the Bible, study the book, study everything, just a bookworm. Or maybe you are a bookworm that you'd rather be in college, rather be in school, rather always go in some natural sort of a thing with a brainstorm up here like a computer all the time. Or perhaps you are one that desires the mind of Christ, and you're looking for the word of God and the understanding of God, and you have a mind to feed the widows and the orphans and to help them around the world and to make a sacrifice for God of your time, of your mind, of your strength, of your substance, and to see that the lights remain on in the house of God and that the gospel goes out somewhere across the world as the presses roll, and that the home front is here and clean and upright as a virtuous way of life, or standing for something as a standard of God, inviting people from all over the world and enticing people to come to your light that others might see. Maybe you have a mind to try to reach everybody on every level of life, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Maybe you have the mind of Christ within you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. He was in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. To be equal with God. Father, make these one. Let us be equal with you. God's desire is that his word, which is spirit and which is life, be projected into your very blood genetics. That this be made manifest in your very blood genetics. Until, as Stephen, your face shines, As Jesus, his body radiated with the light of the glory of God, as the sun shining within his strength. Over there when Stephen's face shined, over there when Moses' face shined, the Bible says wisdom makes a man's face to shine. And this light that we're speaking of, that's formed by the darkness of your intellectual, this light that projects itself from your intellectual, this light, are you a light of the world? Are you letting the light shine? Are you doing anything right? Are you thinking anything right? Are you saying anything right? Are you going to any places that's right? Are you sharing of what you've got? Does anybody see a light? See, what do they see when they see you? What do they see when they see me? See, what kind of light are you anyway? There is a dark light. And the Bible said, if that light within you be darkness, how great is that darkness? There is an understanding that's called light. It's a dark light. It's an ignorance. And you're blinded by that ignorance within you that the true light can never shine. But did you know that from Calvary the true light now shineth? And the Bible said ever since that true light started to shine, God despises the image of mankind. Every image of mankind from the time that this light has begun to shine has become despisable to God unless this image turns itself to Calvary or turns itself to God and repents of its sins and considers itself dead by Calvary and buried out of the sight of God in a watery grave to come forth as a new creature, yielding its members unto God as that which is new. You know, you never know what's going to happen to you. You need to walk in the light as he is in the light. If you walk into this mind, you will have fellowship one with another. You won't stray off trying to do your own thing. People today have become they've come to a standstill because they don't link up with anybody. They don't walk with anybody. They don't stand with anybody. They're so brony in their mind, and they're so lifted up and in conceit, they don't walk with anybody. They don't follow anybody. They don't submit to anybody. And because of that, they're just a nobody. God just put them aside. But you know, we need one another. I was thinking about the case. Betty was telling me about one of the sisters here that they said she had cancer. Brother Fontaine, the wife, came to us the other day to pray for her sister there that had cancer and was in a terrible condition, according to the reports of the doctor. Said it was a terrible thing. She described it. And she stood it for a proxy. And we prayed, and I felt the mighty power of God come down in a strong way. I was almost shocked at it. And usually when I pray with Brother Fontaine, I usually feel God because he believes in the Lord. But there it was. He was believing, and the woman was believing too, and I was surprised at the sister's faith. And whether it just happened or whether the doctors was wrong or whatever, I understand the last report was that they said she don't have cancer. But whatever it is, you know, I thank God that something happened. And I appreciate the goodness of God, and I know you do too. We give the Lord a hand because he's worthy of a hand. So then, your light shines. And as your light shines, it shines around the world. Things are happening around the world. Now, you've been able to share some, as I said, with the people over in Rwanda. Not as much as we'd like to share. But some of you have been going through a real financial crisis, and I think it's been real gallant of you that you've done what you have done. And the Lord is supplying all of the needs. The building down here, it's second story now, and they're fixing to cap it off, and it's in good shape. You'll be ready for your school. This will be a real school for you for maybe a long time to come. And the rooms will be adequate for the purpose, and it'll be so much better for you than where the children are. On the home front, because of your labor, because of your mind. See, the Bible said they built the walls back because they had a mind to work. And inasmuch as you've had a mind to work and a mind to share, there is a light here that's going around the world. It's going, somebody said, I just don't believe that, Brother Pike. You exaggerate. That don't go around the world. It's done going around the world. It's done come back and gone around again. So God doing something. Paul said, your faith is spoken up throughout the world. And there are ministers everywhere that want to be part of what you're doing. And I want them to be a part of it. And I know you want to be a part of it. See, and I want to be a part of it. So then, when we say these things, we need to remember to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to hold you long this morning. But I could just go on and go on, because we get along here and we get our minds kind of open and we get into the Spirit of God and get to growing in the grace and knowledge. And then the book opens up. It opens up in such a tremendous way. And my whole life yearns after that book. Like David said concerning his heart, my heart, it panteth after thee, O God, as the heart does the water brook. And so then the thrill of being eternal, the thrill of being eternal, the thrill of being a God, the thrill of being a son of God, and the thrill of having all understanding. You have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. Jesus said, what my Father hath made known unto me, I have made known unto you. And what was it that God made known unto Jesus? All things. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that you believe you know all things. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, that's just absolutely awesome. Could a man believe that he knows all things? That's what I believe. I started out years ago and I said, Lord, now I'm going to believe that I know all things. Not because I know all things as a man, nor can I put this in a memory bank as a man as to studying, trying to memorize the Bible and these kind of things. But because of your mind, I'm going to believe that I know all things, that you've given me all things that pertain unto life in Christ Jesus, and you've made known unto me all things, because you said, as what you are, so am I in you, and that you have made me to know all things, because you know all things. So I said, through thee, Heavenly Father, I now know all things. And I claim that from my heart, and until this day, down through the years, there's never been anything that ever came about at any time but what he wouldn't reveal it to me. Any subject I started on, anything I talked about, anything that I wanted to know, even witty inventions of the world, of things that I know nothing about, things that I want to do, I do them because I believe that it is Christ in me and that he is my memory bank and he is the full measure, the full stature of that wonderful God of heaven. And because of that, in Christ, I know all things through Christ Jesus. Now, would you like to dispute that? We'll have open house here for a minute. Would you like to dispute that? Would somebody like to stand up and say, hey, I show you the Bible, well, that's not right. It'd be good for my people if you can do that, if you're right. But if you're not right, then take what I'm telling you. The Bible said, what my Father hath made known unto me, I have made known unto you. Is that right? Now somebody said, well, I don't have it all. Well, it's available to you. You may not have all the healing you need. You may not have all of the answers you need. You may not have all the abundance of the Spirit that you need or that you want, we'll say. But it's all available to you. Go on to the full measure. Isn't that what he said? To the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Oh, somebody could never do that, the Bible said. But the Bible does say everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. Isn't that right? Isn't it good to know that the Bible said God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified? Let's give the Lord a hand. That's how we got to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He hath made you perfect forever. I'm going to say these few little things in close here because we're hardly getting started this morning. But remember, you should never take the outlook in faith as to believing the wrong way. You can believe the wrong way. You can use believing the wrong way. And when we say believing as to faith, we're talking about human believing, not the faith of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God. But the human believing. See, you should never believe that you're defeated. How can you believe that you're defeated when God said, as I am, so are you in me? Was Jesus defeated? How can you take the outlook that you are unclean when the Bible said, give of that which you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you? And how can you be unclean when you're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ? How can you consider yourself unclean? You say, but Brother Pike, you just don't know the kind of thoughts that I have. Well, shame on you. You don't need to think those kind of thoughts. Somebody says, but I can't help it. They come to my mind. Well, don't worry about it. It's like the saying was, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. Now, somebody said, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, there's a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. The body's a villain to the extent it's got sin in it. It's sin in the flesh, and it's warring against the inner man. And the inner man cannot do in the outer man what it would like to do. I'm going to bring this to you one more time here, taking a few minutes this morning, and remind you again. I've said this again and again, and maybe you don't like to hear it, but there are some that don't get it, and they like to hear it. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Have you ever stopped and said, oh, wretched man that I am? Have you ever given yourself an opportunity to please God to the extent to say, oh, wretched man that I am? Or is it always an admiration of yourself and an esteeming of yourself? And oh, wretched man is my neighbor. And oh, wretched is my wife and my children. Oh, wretched is the preacher and the brothers and sisters. But he said, oh, wretched man that I am, though I'm blameless touching the law, though I've done everything a Pharisee of Pharisees, I've done everything religiously that can be done, but I'm a wretch. Oh, wretched man that I am. Jesus said, naked and wretched and blind. See, from the birth of Adam, the spirit of lust in you, the spirit that lusteth unto envy from the time you're a child. And I say this again, if it wasn't for the fact that God doesn't let you know right and wrong, he'd kill you at your birth. But because you don't know where there's no knowledge of sin, sin's not imputed until you come to the age of accountability, like us to a bar mitzvah. Then after that, you're charged with it if you make an allowance and you're guilty. Know you not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy? Renewing me a right spirit, David said. Bring me the Holy Spirit. Thy spirit is a right spirit, O God. So then, don't believe that you're defeated. Don't believe that you can be defeated. Don't believe that you're going to die. Don't believe that you're going to be sick. You say, but Brother Pike, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I know, and you'll moan and you'll groan. So did Job. But Job still had a testimony. Though he mourned and he groaned, he said, cursed be the day I was born. He was in such misery, worms working in his flesh. But his testimony was, though the skin worms devour my flesh, yet in my flesh or body shall I see God. I'll see him for myself. See, and the testimony must be overcome. While you go through the pain, the anguishness, the sorrow, the misery, doing whatever you can, deep embedded underneath, there's a root of testimony, the victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. For Christ is the high priest of your confession. And you have to confess what you want. When they came to the priest of the Old Testament, they would meet him at the gateway of the tabernacle, at the fence. And then would come the lamb, and the hand would be laid on the heads. And then it's slaughtered. And then there would be a high priest that would take over. A high priest of the confession that they had made of their sins, that it might be done away with. That the lamb's blood had been spilt. I am guilty no more. And the blood was taken before the great wonderful Ark of the Covenant, where God was between the cherubs, that he would look at the blood and say, the death of this person, they've given their own life. That represented their own life. See, we are lambs killed all the day long. That is, we are accounted for the slaughter. Giving our life is what saves our soul. Because it is not our life, it is not our blood anymore. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, royal blood flowing through the veins, and it is eternal life. And our body is now bone of the Lamb and flesh of the Lamb. And we sacrifice it upon the altars that we might give it to God. And this Lamb was taken, and the high priest would acknowledge it. And Jesus is today the high priest of our confession. He confesses because he hath the blood of the Lamb. And we are the body and bone of that blood and that lamb. So then that means that we are the same as he is. And the confession is that whatever you want, you have. He hath all things are yours, life, death, things to come, eternal life, whatever it might be, it's already yours. You're already sons of God. The kingdom has already come. You've already been translated into the kingdom of God. You're already justified and sanctified and perfected and glorified forever. You're already all of these things. You was before the world ever was. He chose you in Christ before the world ever was and give you this in Christ when the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world in the foreknowledge of God and then manifested Calvary to bring to light through the rent veil middle of that made in twain, Christ's rent in twain, that he might separate your body from your spirit to give to your angelic being this wonderful blessing of God and seal your body until the time of the change when the body comes off of the throne. That is at the end of the church ages. So then you're already these wonderful things. Jacob have I loved, the children not yet being born, having done no good or evil, that it might stand according to election, and not of works, not of him that willeth or runneth, or him that's smart and intelligent, or what he can accomplish, but of God. So then, that's what you are. You already are. Someone says, but when are we going to heaven, Brother Pike? Folks, we're already in heaven. Don't you know that? We're already in heaven. How many of you believe that you're already in heaven? For God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. Somebody said, but we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. The Bible said, and the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is one and the same. And God has translated you into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't see it. Where is it at? I'm still having my problems. Well, that's because you need to be translated into the kingdom. Now, someone would say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you're trying to take this old thing on the outside like an old dead possum and stick him over in the house somewhere, you know, and you don't need the smell. You understand? He took that thing and he killed that thing and he despised that thing and he buried that thing and he got rid of that thing with your lipstick and powder and paint and pretty forms and faces and all these things that you think that you are. See, and he took your angelic being out of that and translated it into the kingdom of God, which was the Spirit of Christ, and made it one with the Spirit of Christ. And then that Spirit went away in the body that was raised from the dead and went to the right hand of the Father. And it's been there ever since. And it will remain there till the end of the church ages. And this body, though it hath been redeemed and though it is the purchased possession, wrapped in the blood of Jesus, as that blood of atonement lifting that body up that never sinned, which is your body, to put it at the right hand of the Father. He hath taken yours and buried it forever. And at Calvary, he put it out of his presence when he forsook Jesus and forever put that body away of that he despises, which is you. And he put the nails in your hands and he put the thorns on your head and he put the whip on your back and he plowed furrows in your back and he nailed your feet to a post and he done away with you forever and despised you and rejected you. But he raised Jesus up out of the grave. And now, since Jesus has exchanged places with us, he that knew no sin being made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That is in Christ. Now then, we're at the right hand and just waiting till all of the mess is finished down here. So then, Christ is in your spirit and your spirit is in Christ. And though it's in this little bodily tabernacle, this is nothing but dust and the body's inactive. And those that are dead in trespasses and sin while they live are out yonder in the wilderness of their intellectual wandering. But you are within the bodily temple of the living God, whose body you are by foreknowledge. And God sees you as a finished product looking over this valley from mountaintop to mountaintop and sees you out here where you're already changed. And he's accrediting all things to you as being already changed and full of glory and blessings. And that you are eternal forever and alive forever. Well and healthy and strong forever. And only problem that we have is when we allow our faith to get down. Or we're doing something, we use our body up for God and Satan comes in on it. But nevertheless, God's grace is sufficient. And his faith is sufficient to bring us to our goals and cause us to hit the march we're supposed to hit for Christ Jesus. So in this thing, you should never believe in defeat, and you should never throw away your faith, cast away your faith. It hath great recompense and reward. It is a power of sanctification that quenches all the fire darts of the wicked. So then you should keep your faith in God. Your faith in God means your faith in what the preacher preaches. This is God. God is the Word. The same to 1,000 generations. He never changes. God never alters, never changes. His word is settled in heaven, which means God is settled in heaven. God is on the throne. God is like the sun. God never changes. God never wavers. God never alters. And when the word says to you one thing today, it says the same thing tomorrow. When it says this tomorrow, it says the same thing the next day. And it says the same thing the next day. And the next day, in 100,000 years, it says the same thing.
It never wavers. It never alters. It never changes. It's the same to 1,000 generations. It's without respect to person. What I say to one, I say to all. It's not a matter of your works. The Word has already spoke of your works. It's His works. It's not a matter of your faith. It's not a matter of my faith. It's a matter of the faith of Jesus Christ by which I'm sanctified. If I don't never believe in God, if I don't never believe nothing concerning God, if I don't never believe there is a God, there still is a God. And there still is the faith of Jesus Christ. And there still is the Calvary. There still is the Holy Land. And there still is an empty tomb. And it's still there. It's not something we try to conjure up in a myth where people have been taught about it and never even seen the Holy Land. They just go by faith. Never seen, don't know, but blessed art thou, because thou hast not seen but believe. Seeing's a myth to you. But nevertheless, this word remains the same. So when you say, God, you made me a promise. By your stripes I'm healed. Lord, you made me a promise that I am secure in you. By your righteousness my sins are gone, and they're covered by the blood. You told me that yesterday, but I wonder how you feel about me today, God. I wonder if you've changed your mind today. And besides that, Lord, I don't feel exactly like I did yesterday. My mind comes and goes, and it's around and around and up and down and in and out. And I got it on this today and this tomorrow. And I don't know whether I'm as good today as I was yesterday. And I don't know whether I'll be as good tomorrow as I am today. So I don't know how you feel about me. And the Lord says, away with all of that. It has nothing to do with it. I killed you at Calvary. I buried you. I don't want to hear that. Nothing to that. I don't want that. I don't want to hear that. I want to see that. I despise that image. I showed you what I thought about that. Now, we take the other side of the subject. But I'm looking at the apple of my eye, bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. I'm looking at the sanctified one, even Christ, the glorified one, the justified one, the pure one, the holy one, and the faith of my Son, which has taken you from darkness as to intellectual ignorance into light of revelational understanding and confidence in what I've done for you. So, folks, the only way that you fail to get this is that you place your faith in confidence in that which He hath done for you, which He hath already done and requires exactly nothing from you. What must we do to work the works of God? This is the works of God. I finished it from the foundation of the world, that you should believe on me, Jesus said. Now, hold on just a minute. I'm going to let you go. See, I got you all out of sorts there. You thought I was going to let you go, so you started drawing up on me. So we'll just break it down and start all over. When it comes to the faith, when it comes to your believing, if I don't believe it, I don't get it. If you don't believe it, you don't get it. But if I do believe it, I do get it. Now, if you believe it, then you get it. But if I don't believe it, my neighbor gets it because he believed. If he don't believe it and I believe it, I get it because he didn't believe it. So it's just that simple. God said, I'm requiring exactly nothing out of you except to believe in what I've done. And you believe in what I've done by what I say. I sent somebody to tell you what's been done for you. I sent somebody to tell you. He'll speak my word because I sent him. I sent somebody to tell you what you are in me. What you've always been before the world ever was. That this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was. And I saved you while you were yet in your sins. I gave this to you before you ever breathed your first breath. I wrote your names down, as Paul said, greet my women workers whose names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. Which are written down while they were walking with Paul. See, and now it's just now the preaching time at the end of the church ages when the message is to be revealed as to the mysteries and the secret. To preach you into glory as a translation. To preach you into glory as a transformation. To preach you into glory as a transfiguration. And to preach you from Egypt of the old intellectual dogmas of that is diplomacies of colleges and schools that's frustrated and messed up the whole world through the act of academics and that has the world in a turmoil that's made it a lukewarm bunch of vomit, see, and turned it into sodomites. And it's to preach you out of all of this mess, knowing that the world today, including America, is the civilization of Egypt, of the old hieroglyphics and the things that they discovered there. But beyond that, the real history goes back where God revealed the thing to Moses. So then you are the children of God. You're ready to take over the world. You don't want this world of vanity here. All of this world is vanity, vexation of spirit, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You've gone after it like dogs, but that's because you are dogs. You've gone after it like animals, but that's because you are animals. But you that are children of God, You forsake that. You give that up. You lose your life here. You gain it in the world to come, as you say. You gain it here. You lose it in the world to come. You can't mix these things. You can't put them together. Ministers are stupid in trying to do that. That's plain stupidity. They don't mix. You have to give up one to get the other. And folks, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Put down the body. Get rid of your old intellectual world of academic studies and come into Christ and find faith and get the revelational mind and translate, transformate, and transfigurate into the things of God. And let these ministers and these meetings and these people and these things go on with their foolishness. As they sit down to eat and drink, they rose up to play. And let them go on, and the world will follow them, because the world loves their own. And they include the ball games and the frolics, and they say, we're not fanatics. We know that you need the diplomacies, and you need these, and you need this. And by the time they get through, they've got a bucket of slop. Pardon the old countrified expression. And God pours it out, because it belongs to the pigs. It don't belong to the children. So little flock, fear not. It is God's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. And you are a little flock. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. When the master shut through the door, shut to the door, they won't be able to come in. So then walk upright, do the thing that's right. Be virgins at the cry, at the midnight cry. Be virgins. Don't let your light go out. Don't let it move your candlestick. Listen to the words. Believe the words. Because, as I said, the law is gone. It's folded up. It's laid away. It's fulfilled. You're already translated into the kingdom. You're already sealed in. The church ages is down at an end now. And you should be singing the praises of God and loving the Lord. And should be thanking Him for whatever measure you've received. That He might increase that measure through faith of the transformation of your mind. And be about your Father's business. Forget about the world. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Don't touch the cursed things. And I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Let's stand together. I like what Einstein said. A great man of learning in the world. When he was asked what he thought about God and about the Bible, he said, no man can read the Bible without getting inspired. No man can read those Gospels without it being quickened to him. There's a living God. You know, people with good understanding, good sense, they know that. It's just a bunch of fanatics running around in the world that don't know that. But folks, God's given us a lot of good things in the world of academics. But don't get choked off of that and don't go after that. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things are added. He gave us the sunshine. I didn't have to go looking for it. And He gave me the stars, and I didn't have to try to put them together. And He gave me the ocean and gave me all the fish in it. Gave me the birds, the fowls of the air. He gave me the trees and the fruited plains. And He gave me the electric lights when He revealed it. Somebody said, out of intelligence, this great man discovered it. It wasn't nothing but a foolish little gesture of a little two-year-old boy. He could have done it. And God revealed it. Just like all the other great things that's ever come, God just revealed them to people of simplicity. Just like He chose ignorant fishermen to reveal these things that He might get the glory and keep it away from the world of diplomacy that's turned it into a mire and into a pit. So then you see what they've done with it. The diplomacy has it. The world has it. And they've turned it into a slime pit and into sodomites. And now their virtues are gone. And when virtue is gone, healing, happiness is gone, because the virtue that went out of Jesus' body is what healed the people. And now that their virtues is gone, their health is gone. Their happiness is gone. Their joy is gone. Their God is gone. And as I said, I so say again that when they elected this woman as Mrs. America, the deaf woman, according to the report, it's very obvious to me that meant that America had gone deaf and couldn't hear the word of God. And not only that, but I just heard recently, we'd spoken about the Trinity. We have some things on tape here. We've spoken about the Trinity of these three that came together, which was among the Jewish rabbis and Gorbachev and the papacy. And how it had to do with that evil Trinity that would bring forth the three unclean spirits, and that it would gather the world together in a great army. And eventually bring it to the valley of blood in Revelation 19. And it would bring about the Catholic religion and force it on all the world. And take back the very thing that Martin Luther had brought out of it. And all these people would go back into it. That's the only kind of religion that will fit people that are sodomites. And running and jumping and hollering and screaming. And doing the things that they're doing. Even the charismatics, we said it would be accepted of the papacy. And it has been. It's part of it now. And then I spoke of this other papacy.
I said, there's another one that looks like he's going to come to be Pope. And if he comes about this time and the other one dies, it'll make it just right. Because his ambition is to set his palace over in Jerusalem. There's already been plans drawn up in the past for this. And sure enough, I got word in the last day or two, whether true or not, this is the word I got, that the Pope hath cancer and they're expecting him to die. Now, if that's right, then the same papacy was with that Trinity when they were over there together. And if this one dropped out as the one that's there now, then it would put him right in the place to make the Trinity all over again. And that would do the job. So there's something that's happening. Even Gorbachev, with the Green Cross operation that he's got, has got interested in all of this fallout. Strange that he should turn to the very stuff that's devastating. And not only that, but he's decided now that the only thing that'll ever bring the world together is religion. So he's wrote a book on religion, of how it will bring the world together. And since the Pope, we've been having, as a rule, I think we've been having Italians as popes. Now all of a sudden we've got one that was Polish, which turned it right to communism. And you can see why the Pope favored Gorbachev, wanting to have a great leader that should be over all of the world, or most all of the world, when he recommended a man that should be over it. And since the Jews come together as to the betrayal of that thing, of that leading Jew, you can see all three of them coming together as to the three parts of the world. And in coming together, you know what kind of religion that's going to be as to the book that Gorbachev has come up with. And you know what that's going to lead to as to the number. And you know where the computerized system is right now. Church ages is over. America represents the church ages and she's gone. And everything is at an end. And the government of America has already changed. It's gone. It's shifted. It's lost. Somebody would say, oh no, beautiful America is still going. Beautiful America, as you call it, still going. There's nothing beautiful about her. She's turned into sodomites and thieves and cons and everything else. Ain't even safe to be on the streets. But nevertheless, America as a whole is beautiful. It's what God created. But the system is rotten. Not only that, but when you say government gone, you're not looking for the trees to fly away and the birds to fly away and the land that you walk on called America to fly away. The government went away. It transformated into a degenerate thing. And it went away. That is not the government Washington brought. Did Washington bring a bunch of sodomites? Did he establish this as a bunch of sodomites and renegades and reprobates and religious fanatics? No. It was founded upon real truth, real godliness. Did Abe Lincoln found his government on the filth of today? What would Abe Lincoln do and Washington do if they together walked through the White House of today? What would they do? They would disown the whole thing. If they had to, they'd close it down and start all over in another place. All right, Jimmy's coming back to the forefront. I made the statement that he wasn't through. He'd come back to the forefront. He had things to do, and he's doing it. He's coming right back, and even to the president being upset with him, and things are happening, and it's happening the way that we understood. So then if you're not ready, now's the time to get ready. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? The altars are open while we're singing. It's always a pleasure to come to Bethlehem, especially on Sunday morning, and share with you in the enthusiasm of God and our enthusiasm for world evangelism and reaching souls. And we count on you because you're part of it. And some of you are really trying to get in here as of late and correct the disorders of your life that you might do something for God. And them that come from roundabout, we appreciate it, whether they come out of the islands, whether they come locally out of the different states, or whether it's just here around town, whatever. We appreciate you coming, and we invite you to come and be with us. See our zeal for God. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, and the dark cloud won't let the sun shine through. Seems I hear a voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow clouds to hide sweet heaven's view. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one
more vow, more tear. One more curve in life's road, one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get old. Don't let Satan see your tears. Try to smile above your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way, and it'll be worth it all someday. Or it's all gonna be over after a while. Sing it with me now. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear. One more curve in life's road, one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get one more time together. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get home. When there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. While we're standing here, the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. You've heard the word, faith by the hearing of the word. Someone to care, someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you. One more time. Someone to care, someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. And he'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you. Let's lift our hands and close our eyes while we sing this little chorus. I'm glad to have you this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to minister to you and tell you about the love of God and the wonderful message of truth. You should be great and mighty people. This morning you should be strong like giants. You should be so strong and mighty saying, oh my God, do I believe what that preacher said? Nah, that means it's all over. That means I made it. That means I made it. Hallelujah. At last, I made it. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, I wouldn't dare think I made it. If I thought I made it, I might miss it altogether. Well, I dare to think that Jacob made it before he was ever born. Let's give the Lord a hand.
I got a feeling that if you didn't make it in the foreknowledge of God, you didn't make it. For the Bible said we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And if you made it in the foreknowledge of God, you don't have to worry. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel good. Don't you feel good? Always and always you feel good in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time. Give me that old time religion. Good enough. It makes me love everybody. Love everybody. Make you love the enemies. It'll make you love the enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. But love everybody. We love everybody. Love everybody. And it's good enough for me. So give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. It's good enough. It makes me sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. And it's good enough. So give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. And it's good enough for me. And it has taken us all into heaven. Taken us all into heaven. Taken us all into heaven. It's good enough. You'd better get the old time religion. Old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Somebody say hallelujah. You know what? Remember now, you made it. And you've been listening all these years so you could make it. And you made it. Now that you made it, you should come into the gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. You should come in at night with victory. Somebody says, but if I just have the victory, have you got your faith? Let me see your hand. That's the victory. Do you believe what he said? That's the victory. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, you got it. Don't let nobody take it from you. You got it. Amen. You got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Got that old time religion. Old time religion. Could ask Brother Fontaine to come and dismiss us. It's good enough for me. I've got that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Good enough for me. Give me old time religion. Old time religion. Old time.